If you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to the book of Amos once again. Last week we started a study through this great little Old Testament book. As I mentioned, Amos is one of the minor prophets, not because his prophecy is insignificant or less than the other prophets, but simply because it's shorter in length than the major prophets. How many of you actually put some type of marker in the book of Amos so that you wouldn't have to go to your index to find it tonight? All right. The smart people. Very good. If you will, read along with me, verses 6 through 10. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four. And we noted last week that basically what that is saying is God says, okay, I've had it up to here. Now you've overreached my patience. Judgment is coming. I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Eden. But I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour the palaces thereof, and I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and him that holdeth the scepter from Ashkelon, and I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, saith the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyrus, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom, and remembered not the brotherly covenant. But I will send a fire on the wall of Tyrus, which shall devour the palaces thereof. Tonight we're looking at two different nations which will come under the judgment of God. The first one is found in verse 6, and that's Gaza, and which is the home of the Philistines. Now, Gaza was the most important of the five city-states within Philistia. The others are mentioned up here in verse 8, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Ekron. The fifth was Gath, and it's believed that since that's not recorded here in verse 8, that Gath had already come under judgment, and therefore there was no need for Amos to mention it. Philistia, or Gaza as it's referred to here in verse 6, is still a trouble spot in the Middle East today. You will hear of a lot of things going on in the Gaza Strip. Remember that this is home of Samson. And remember, the Philistines came out against the nation of Israel. They were inhabitants of the land there, and they were constantly warring against them. David winning a decisive victory, and for a while they were subdued, but as the nation went on in time, they regained some resurgence here and of power, and were battling against Israel. It says here in verse 6 that they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. This is a mention of dealing in slavery. Because of their relationship to the Mediterranean Sea, they were a place where a lot of trading went on. And because of their geographic location and increase in military power and physical power and Israel's decline, they were able to raid certain cities and peoples of the nation of Israel and literally carry the whole town away captive into slavery. They would then take them and trade them, and one of the biggest buyers of slaves was the Edomites. They were all too happy to enslave the Israelite people. Notice in verse 9 the judgment against Tyre, which is up here in northern Israel, again along the coast, because of their position. They were involved in a lot of trading, and the Phoenicians were all too happy to cooperate with the Philistines in this slave trade. It says here also in verse 9 that they remembered not the brotherly covenant. There is no specific description in the scriptures what this brotherly covenant is, but most Bible commentators feel that there was a covenant that was made between King Hiram of Phoenicia, of Tyre, with King David. Remember, David had it in his heart to build a temple for the Lord, and the Lord said, no, you're not going to do that. But David said, okay, well, I'll at least get the materials together. And he made a covenant with King Hiram. Hiram supplied workers that were very skilled workers. He also supplied wood and other materials for the temple in Jerusalem. That same covenant was honored by Hiram and Solomon after David's death. And even King Ahab later on mentioned of this covenant with King Hiram. It is not stated specifically, but it is assumed that this covenant, this brotherly covenant, assured that there would be a peace between the people, which the nation of Israel always honored. There was never any attack against the Phoenicians. And it's interesting today, even with all that's going on in the area of the Middle East, the Phoenicians is the area of modern-day Lebanon now, there's still somewhat of a peaceful coexistence, although the Lebanese certainly are not the greatest allies of Israel by any stretch of the imagination. There is some relative peace between the two of them. This could be what that brotherly covenant is. But the Phoenicians, they remembered it not. An opportunity came along for them to be involved in this slave trading with the Philistines, and they said, even though we've got this covenant, we're going to take advantage of the situation. And because of their involvement in this, God says, I am bringing certain destruction upon these two peoples. The Assyrians in 743 BC came and attacked the Philistine cities and conquered them. Nebuchadnezzar came along a couple of decades later and also completely ransacked them. And the Philistines tried a number of times to rebuild their country and their cities. Every time they did, they were overthrown. The Maccabeans were very prominent in keeping the Philistines from ever becoming a very powerful people again. Likewise, Nebuchadnezzar besieged the Phoenicians beginning in 586 BC, laid siege to the area for over 13 years until it was finally conquered. Alexander the Great came along in 332 and once again conquered the area. And this scripture that's given here in verses 6 through 10 was completely fulfilled by the Lord because of their involvement in these things. Now, the question is, what is it exactly that they were doing that got God so mad? And may I say to you, it is not necessarily that these people had slaves. Now, before you get ready to throw rocks at me and call me a heretic or anything like that, listen to what I have to say in total. Do you understand or realize that the Bible nowhere condemns slavery? We fought a war in our country over 150 years ago over the issue of slavery. And believe it or not, there were people on both sides, both the North and the South, that were arguing from biblical perspectives what the Bible says about slavery. And may I say to you that nowhere in Scripture is there a condemnation or a prohibition of slavery. You can search all you want and you will not find it. However, there are some regulations of slavery. For example, it says in Exodus chapter 21, if a man smite the eye of his servant, and the word servant there has the idea of a slave, or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall not let him go free for his eye's sake. And if he smite out his manservant's tooth or his maidservant's tooth, he shall let him go for his tooth's sake. In other words, you're supposed to treat slaves humanely. And if the master of the slave got upset with him and struck him that it caused bodily harm, this slave was allowed to go free. Slavery in our country that was fought over certainly was not biblically allowed slavery. Slaves were, for the most part, greatly mistreated. But slavery in and of itself was not prohibited. In fact, there's parts of Scripture, such as Exodus 21, that says if a slave would love his master. That's a an unusual situation. It's hard for us to comprehend a slave saying, I like my position as a slave. I've got a good master. And you know what? I'd like to be with my master for the rest of my life. Well, if that would be the case, that they would go through a ceremony where he would be brought to a doorpost and he would have his ear pierced. And that man would remain a slave forever. So we turn to the New Testament. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? And again, the word servant there is the Greek word doulos. There's another word, diakonos, where we get our word deacon from, which is also translated servant. But this word doulos means a bond slave, an indentured servant. And he says, if you come to the place in your life where you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're a slave, that's how it is. If there's a possibility that you can gain your freedom, fine, no problem. But if you can't, well, then you're a slave. What's really interesting is that in the letter or the book that's called Philemon, Paul is writing to a godly man about his slave, Onesimus, who was run away. And Paul mentions a number of qualities about Philemon as being a very godly person. And he says, I'm returning Onesimus to you. Now, if the Apostle Paul, as godly as he was any way concerned that slavery was not in the will of God or could not be in the will of God, he would have said, look, you can't have this guy back. Do the right thing. Now, the Apostle Paul didn't do that. Probably the clincher to the whole thing, and I'd have you just turn here real quickly to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Notice how the book of Romans starts. Paul, a doulos, a slave of whom? Jesus Christ. Do you recognize that Jesus Christ has slaves? The Apostle Paul was one. Wait a minute, this presents a problem. Why is it then that back here in the book of Amos, he says to the Philistines, he says to the Phoenicians, I'm going to bring judgment upon your countries because you carried away captive the whole captivity. You were involved in trading slaves. There's one significant point about biblical slavery. And it's this. Exodus 21 says, and he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. Slaves were slaves by their own volition. Now, sometimes slaves ran into financial things. They said, oh, I owe you some money and I can't pay. Well, in order to pay a debt, they would say, all right, I will be your slave for a certain amount of time. Under the Old Testament regulations, debts had to be forgiven at the end of 7 years. And consequently, slaves were always given their freedom at the end of 7 years. But a man became another man's slave by his own volition. The Apostle Paul became a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, not because the Lord had a whip and constrained him to be one, but Paul said, hey, I'd like to be your slave for the rest of my life. Here, these two countries were going into the nation of Israel, and they were taking away captive people against their will and forcing them to be slaves. Exodus 21 says, if a man steals another man, it's worthy of death. This country these two countries had been involved in it, and even the Phoenicians, in breaking a covenant that they had with Israel, had even a greater consequence. And God brought judgment upon them. Well, that's the end of the exposition. Question is, what does that have to do with us? Well, let me make a few applications and then we will go home. There is still slavery that's involved or going on in the world today. Now, some people have taken the admonitions for slaves, especially found in the New Testament, and they've applied them to the employer-employee relationship. I understand why they're doing that, and there is some application to be made about that, but a slave, as I said, became a slave because generally he owed a debt. When you go to work for somebody, you don't owe that person a debt. You're looking to receive something from him. So there's a little bit of difference between an employee and employee relationship. The problem here that brought judgment was when people were forced against their wills. And we're still seeing in the world today people that are going into other places and taking people against their will, forcing them to do labor for them, selling them as material things in order to make a profit from them. One of the things that has happened recently, or possibly has happened recently, is with the Natalie Holloway. That's it. That's what I was going to say, and I just had one of those. No, it can't be that. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. One of those deals going on in my brain. If I would have had a nap this afternoon, I wouldn't have the problem. Anyway, one of the speculations is that since they never found her, that she was sold into slavery. Obviously, that would have been against her will. Do you think God cares about that? Do you think God cares that people are missing across the face of the planet? Children are also disappearing. Certainly there are a number of tragic things that are going on with them, but from what I understand, it's very possible that they are being sold into child slavery. In foreign countries, some factories are enslaving children and so forth. I think God cares about that. And according to the passage here, God says, I will give you opportunities for three transgressions, but for four, when my patience has reached its limit, judgment will come. May I say to you that I don't know what happened to Natalie Holloway, but if it happened that she was enslaved, that one day justice will be served. But let me make this a little bit more personal for you and I tonight. Certainly you and I would say, well, I never would enslave anybody. And I'm happy for that. But sometimes we try to exert influence over others. Understand that the people of Phoenicia and the Philistines were coming into the nation of Israel when Israel was weak. They were exerting their military influence and power over them. Sometimes we see people and we have a situation where we know we're in a position of a little bit greater power or authority, and we force them to do something that they really don't want to do, rather than winning them to do what it is that we would like them to be doing. It could be in a matter of husband-wife relationship where you're trying to decide in your own home what the course of action is. It could be any interpersonal relationship, employer-employee relationship, whatever the case may be, but we try and take advantage of somebody and basically enslave them to our demands. Understand, God hates that. And he will bring judgment, as he did with these nations. By the way, I kind of glossed over a little bit how they were fulfilled. I told you the dates and all those things. It was written in the annals of the Greeks that when Alexander came to Tyre, 30,000 Phoenicians were taken away captive as slaves, and the cities were destroyed. God has a unique sense of justice. God hates exerting the influence and enslaving those who are weak. God delights in justice. And I would encourage you tonight to consider these things. Hopefully there is no need to make application of these things in our lives, but just to be aware of them. And remember, even now in the Middle East, of the things that are going on, the Palestinians who are basically trying to come in and enslave the Israelite people, God says, I'll take care of it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for all your goodnesses to us. Thank you for the rest and refreshment of the afternoon. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to gather here tonight and to sing praises to your name, to look again into your word and maybe learn just a little history and just remind ourselves of some practical truths. Father, I pray for Kathy tonight as she'll be going in the hospital on Tuesday. I pray for Dave tonight also. Lord, that you'll watch over them and keep them. I pray, Father, for the surgeons, that they'll have wisdom and skill in what they're attempting to do. And when the day is done on Tuesday, that all might be accomplished that is conducive to your will. And Lord, that you'll just give a quick time of healing for Kathy and Dave and refreshment there. Lord, we just pray for the advancement of the ministry here. We ask, Father, that you'll give us opportunities in the days ahead to be witnesses of your great name in the world around us. And Lord, may we too, like the Apostle Paul, be willing slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. For your honor and glory, we pray in his name. Amen. Good week.